out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 28th of February, 2018. We're moving fast into springtime, yet it's still freezing cold here in Britain. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As it's Wednesday, we're joined by Billy Roper of the Shield Wall Network and the Roper Report, which you can hear later on today on Radio Arian. Billy, how are you doing today?
Doing fine, Sven, but we're enjoying some nice British weather here in Arkansas with fog and drizzling rain, so we can empathize with you.
Yeah, I was wondering what it was like up your way. You're near the mountains, aren't you? Is that right? Or am I thinking somewhere else?
I am in the Ozark Mountains, and we are almost done with winter. We have another couple of weeks where at night the temperature will get just to the freezing point, but here in the daytime we're experiencing a week or so of rain and drizzle and a lot of fog.
It looks beautiful. Some of the pictures I've seen from some of the camping trips that you do with the Shield Wall Network, it looks like a really lovely part of the world. And we're going to move to another lovely part of the world, or it was lovely when they had apartheid. They still have good weather over there. And that's South Africa. And we've got a really shocking story to begin with today. I expect some of our listeners are probably already aware of it. It's actually receiving mainstream coverage for once, which is a surprise. And it's about South Africa voting to steal land from whites. White South African farmers will be removed from their land after a landslide vote in Parliament. The country's constitution is now likely to be amended to allow for the confiscation of white-owned land without compensation, following a motion brought by radical Marxist opposition leader Julius Malema. It passed by 241 votes for to 83 against after a vote on Tuesday, and the policy was a key factor in new President Cyril Ramaphosa's platform after he took over from Jacob Zuma in February. Mr. Malema said the time for reconciliation is over. Now is the time for justice. We must ensure that we restore the dignity of our people. What dignity do Negroes have? They run around naked. They ran around naked until we came across them. You know, no dignity whatsoever. They say they need to restore the dignity of their people without compensating the criminals. Criminals, that means us, the people that civilized them. We are criminals who stole their land. It is about our dignity, he says. We do not seek revenge. All that our people ever wanted is their land, to which their dignity is rooted and founded. Mr. Malema has a long-standing commitment to land confiscation without compensation. In 2016, he told his supporters he was not calling for the slaughter of white people, at least for now. The Rural Affairs Minister for the ruling African National Congress Party said the ANC unequivocally supports the principle of land expropriation without compensation. There is no doubt about it. Land shall be expropriated without compensation. Botched and often violent redistribution of land in neighbouring Zimbabwe under ex-leader Robert Mugabe left many farms in ruins, and the drop in production triggered an economic crisis that still haunts the country. White farmers control 73% of arable land, compared with 85% when apartheid ended in 1994, according to a recent study. Well, this is really, really worrying, I think, Billy, because this legitimizes all those attacks that have been made on the farmers, all those murders. Thousands of people of whites have just been murdered and had their land stolen from them. And they made a pretense of investigating it, and they covered up the crimes. But now if they make it legal to just steal the land and pay no compensation, then that justifies all these murders. They're justifying Absolutely. The killing. It's going to be a civil war, isn't it?
It is. And just, of course, all of our listeners know, but to remind everyone who might be new to the program and new to white history, when the Boers, the descendants of the Dutch settlers of South Africa, actually moved into the north part, north of the Orange River, there were no black Africans in that area. The blacks that are there today traveled into southern Africa to benefit from the white settlers who actually created civilization there and imported civilization there, imported technology, imported the railroads, imported roads, imported a substandard of living that they could actually be fed from. And so they were not natives to the area. It was never their land originally to begin with, nor was it their ancestors' land that was stolen from them. If anything, they themselves are more recent immigrants to southern Africa and to South Africa as a nation than the whites. And we look at numbers, you know, according to the 2011 South Africa census, there were at that time about 4,500,000 white South Africans left. And of course, during the last 6 or 7 years, as many as possible have immigrated to Australia or New Zealand, a few to the UK and to the United States, if our governments have allowed them, which they often do not. But there are still about 8% whites in South Africa. Interestingly, that's about the same percentage of whites in South Africa as there are whites in the whole world population globally. So we can kind of look at South Africa as being a microcosm of our situation globally. Now, obviously, with the beginning of confiscation of lands, and right now about 74% of the arable farmland in South Africa is owned and managed by whites, just as formerly in Zimbabwe, which is before that Rhodesia and the breadbasket of southern Africa, whites owned and managed the farmland there. We see what happened with that situation where now they're starving to death and they have hyperinflation and cannot feed themselves, where they used to export food. Obviously, we see the end of civilization in South Africa and the beginning of very real white genocide. I wish that we had some way of compelling our governments or non-governmental entities to accept more whites as refugees. But right now, there's nothing that you or I can do to help that except to look at what's happening in South Africa as a canary in the cave mine, as we say, warning for what we very well may face because, you know, for you guys in Great Britain, by 2066, whites will be a minority in Great Britain. In 2040, here in the United States and throughout all of Europe by the end of this century. So this is our future unless we do something now to stop it.
Well, this is the excuse that they make, isn't it? They try and say, oh, it's our land. That's the difference. But it wasn't their land. There was nobody there when white people went there. And if there had been people there, then we would have been quite within our rights to just fight them for that land and wipe them out. And we didn't do that. We built the place up. We brought it into the first world. And then we said to the Negroes, you can come in and work here and we'll share our technology with you. We'll share the benefits of civilization with you. And we'll even bring you law and order. And we'll build you housing and we'll build you schools and we'll teach you in the schools. And what did the Negroes do? They burned the schools down because they didn't have any history. They said, we want to be taught black history. But there was no black history. There was nothing to actually teach them. So they burnt the schools down. They rioted. And some of them were quite fairly sensible and said, look, we can't do this. We need the white man because he's the only guy that knows how to do all this. But their voices were drowned out. And the world's media was on the side of the black rioters. And it still is. I'm really hopeful, because this has been in the mainstream media, I am hopeful that something may be done about this to prevent this from happening. I mean, we saw what happened with Zimbabwe. I mean, that is, the inflation that they have over there, as you say, Billy, it used to be the breadbasket of South Africa. They used to export food from Zimbabwe. Now, it's a UN, it needs UN food aid. And so does South Africa. South Africa used to be a first world country. And since it was taken over by the blacks, it's now a third world country. They can't feed themselves. They can't keep the hospitals going. They can't keep the universities going. And they are running out of money. So their way of thinking, well, we'll get some more money. We'll steal the land from the white man, from the white farmer. But there's no history of farming ever in Africa either. These Negroes don't know how to farm. They need the white man to teach them. All they've ever done is worked as farmhands, as substitute farm machinery. I mean, you know, we joke and we say Negroes are obsolete farm machinery. That's what the black slaves are. But that is literally what they are. If they don't have a white man to direct them, they can't do it for themselves. We see that.
Exactly. And we've seen the example of Rhodesia, of Zimbabwe, of what happened there. And when he said that they are not quite ready to begin wholesale slaughtering of whites, not yet, then obviously if I were a white person living in South Africa, whether I was a farmer or living in a city, I would be desperate to try to get out. I know that a lot of them are. There are some who, unfortunately, like a lot of our people in our nations, are not yet racially aware enough to even recognize the imminent threat to their very survival and their family survival that they're facing. But we hope that those with some remaining survival instincts will actually notice that it is time, it's past time to leave. And what happened in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, is that when they went back to these confiscated farms that the white farmers had stolen from them and that were given to these blacks who had no idea how to even scratch a stick in the dirt to grow anything, that a few years later, they were completely non-productive, that all of the farm machinery, the combines, the tractors were just sitting in the fields rusting because it was like communism, like Marxism. It failed because there was no incentive to be productive or to work. And instead of being the fault of an economic system, which was at fault, this was actually their own genetically inherited laziness, their inability to abstract think or to look past their needs for the next meal and to plan for actual production. You know, when you think about growing food and a crop, you have to foresee planting it and fertilizing it and removing weeds and watering it and then harvesting it and then producing that harvest. It's a long, complex process that requires thinking several steps ahead of yourself. And blacks are just incapable of that kind of long-term planning and production. So they went back and they found out that they were not able to feed themselves when they gave the blacks these farms that had been created by whites. They begged the whites to come back, and then they drove them out again. Then they begged them to come back, and now they're waffling back and forth. The reality is, I believe that the rhetoric that we're hearing in South Africa from the new regime there is even more violent, even more radical. And so we might actually see a full-scale racial civil war with what remains of the whites in South Africa.
Yeah, I think that's what's coming. And today I've been watching, having a look at videos of this leader of the opposition, and he's dancing around saying, kill the Boers, kill the white farmers, kill, shoot to kill, and all the audience clapping and dancing and singing, and he's the leader of the opposition. And when you bring up a good point there, I think, Billy, they're not capable of thinking into the future. To plant a seed, you then have to wait all this time. And they don't understand that. They don't understand things that are going to happen in the future. If it's not happening in the present tense, then it's as if it's not going to happen to them. They only live in the here and now. They're like animals in that aspect. Animals can't think of the future. They can sometimes remember instinctually from the past. Negroes are like that. They can remember being punished in the past, but they're not capable of planning ahead for the future. And the next news story that we've got proves that. And this is from a Negro in Europe. And this was quite a famous case that happened in Sweden. Black IKEA murderer explains his killing of white mother and son as shit happens. Eritrean failed asylum seeker turned murderer Abraham Ogbogabir claimed in an interview that he wants to forget his killing of a 55-year-old woman and her 28-year-old son in an IKEA in 2015, and said that shit happens. On the day of the murder, August the 10th, 2015, Ogbogabir described not feeling well and told of how he had been previously rejected for asylum 7 different times in 3 separate countries. He claimed that if his application were rejected, he would go to Malta, but instead stabbed a white mother and son to death in an IKEA store in a typical Negro rage for not getting his own way. When asked about the murder and how he thinks of it today, the failed asylum seeker said, "Shit happens. I understand that it's not a good thing, but I want to forget this." Ogbogabir said that he did not kill the pair in order to remain in Sweden, in prison, saying, "It is not like that. It was not good. It's a misunderstanding. And I did not see the consequences. Today, I would not have done it. It is now something I live with. It just is. It just happened. The failed asylum seeker was also asked why he had randomly chosen two innocent people to murder, to which he replied, the thought was that they would come to paradise and meet God. So I think we can see from that he's being quite honest. He could not see the consequences of killing this mother and son. He just felt angry at the time and he lashed out. As he says, shit happens, and it just happened to be a mother and son that ended up being murdered by it. But he's saying he doesn't feel like doing it today, so it wouldn't have happened. So it just happened on that day because his emotions got the better of him, because they're driven by instinct. They're not capable of thinking, what are the consequences of this? What if that was me that was being murdered? They're not capable of doing that. They cannot put themselves into another person's shoes. It's completely alien from them. So Negroes are quite honest. When they are caught doing things like this, they are sometimes honest about the reason why, and the liberals just completely ignore it. Nobody is pointing that out, that what he is saying here is quite true. He could not see the consequences, and that is the way he sees it, as in shit happens. It just happened. It's like when they rape people, they just say, oh, it just happened. I don't understand it. It just happened. Their emotions just take hold of them and they do whatever their instinct tells them to do. Their instinct told them to just kill this white woman and her son because he was angry at white people at the time. And these rapists are the same. They get aroused at seeing a white woman and they just rape them. It's exactly the same in Africa when they see unaccompanied Negro women. They just rape them. They don't even have a word for rape. It's the same word for sex. There's no difference between it, whether consent was given or not in Africa. It's just something that happens. That's what the Negro bucks do when they get aroused. They cannot think exactly in the terms we do.
No, they can't, because they're incapable of that kind of rationalism. And also they are incapable of delaying gratification or, as you pointed out, imagining the future consequences of any of their actions. They literally are like pre-adolescents at best as far as their intellectual capability. And I sincerely believe from my position of faith that it's because they lack spirits, and so they're beasts of the field and they have no different temperament or personality than any other animal. They don't have a soul or a conscience. And that's really, their nature. So whenever we bring them into our societies and we expect them to behave as if they are white people, as civilized human beings, and to not randomly rape and murder and kill and rob, then we're being unrealistic ourselves and being foolish ourselves. So that's as much our fault by bringing them in, expecting them to do something which they're incapable of, as it is their fault for being here. And as far as you mentioned liberals, liberals have this hypocritical viewpoint of the world where they're very condescending and paternalistic towards blacks or any non-whites, where they at one point want them to achieve equally to whites and to behave the same way as whites do. But at the same time, it's obvious that they don't expect them to. They know that they cannot. So they actually believe that blacks can only prosper or benefit from liberal white leadership. That's why, Jews and white liberals actually protect non-whites and form their civil rights organizations for them, like they did the NAACP and every other black group or Hispanic group or even feminist group. Because they want to be in control. Their authoritarianism kicks in and they see themselves as being, the big brother or the big daddy taking care of these poor, innocent non-whites who cannot take care of themselves. So there's actually an inherent racism in liberal whites' attitude towards non-whites. They don't admit it as such, but obviously if they truly believe that blacks and other non-whites were our equals, then they'd be fine in their own countries, in their own ethno-states, without living in ours. And so they could be separate from us and then enjoy the blessings of their own cultural heritage without having to appropriate ours, wearing clothes and using written alphabets and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's all total appropriation. What they basically do is they try to ape the white man. They're very good mimics. Negroes are very good mimics. So they can copy what the white man does, but they don't actually have any understanding of what's behind it. It's like when they first saw plastic cards, they thought that credit cards, you just have a credit card and you can buy whatever you want. They didn't realize that you actually had a balance there and you had to put money in there and you had to have wages. And every time you put that card in to pay for something, it took the money off that balance. They just wanted the cards. They wanted these plastic cars. If they had these plastic cars, then they could go out and buy everything that the white man buys. You know, they copy. Imagine. They're like parrots. I mean, that's the word aping, isn't it? That's where it comes from. You know, a Negro apes the white man.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all magic to them. They don't understand how anything actually works or how anything from an automobile to an alphabet works, but it's magic to them. And it's the white man's magic. It always has been and always will be because they cannot do it them for themselves.
And there's a famous video that's online where one of them builds a helicopter, you know, his homemade helicopter. And it's quite hilarious. And he really does think it's going to take off and fly someday. And some African news company recorded it. And it's just a piece of crap. It's like something that a child would build. And he thinks that this helicopter is actually going to fly because what he's done is he's made a copy of what a helicopter looks like, but he's got no idea of the mechanics that actually goes on inside it or how it works. And people just look at them and they think, oh, the only difference is skin color. And they make exceptions for them. And it's not. You know, it's madness, isn't it, Billy? I mean, skin color is the least of the differences. And it really should alert us that these people are nothing like us. Their bone structure is nothing like us. The skin color is nothing like us. The hair is nothing like us. The voice is nothing like us. The smell is nothing like us. What makes us think that their intelligence is going to be anything like us, or they're going to think in any way like the way that we think? It's just not capable for them. And to put the two of us together and say that we are equal is just a recipe for civil war, as we see that's happening in South Africa. We've got more Negroes in this last story that we've got for you as well. And this is a British story. And this is about the UK Labour Party, who we featured quite a lot just recently for their anti-white policies. But this crowns a lot, I think. Labour Party appoint white-hating black pervert Munro Bergdorf as new equalities policy advisor. A transgender activist who has attacked all white people as being innately dangerous and racist has been appointed by the Labour Party as a shadow cabinet advisor on equalities issues. Munro Bergdorf would advise Shadow Secretary of State for Women and Equalities, Dawn Butler MP, that's another Negress, on issues affecting the LGBTQ community as part of the role, as well as help form and push through fairer and more effective policy change. In recent days, the transsexual activist has implied that the President of the United States is a racist and claimed that the suffragettes were white supremacists. Now, she said they were white supremacists because they didn't argue for a vote for black women. Well, there weren't any black women in Britain at the time, and women were just seen as women. They didn't need to say black women. Bergdorf was just one member of a new LGBT advisory panel announced by Labour on Monday, which consists of mainly celebrities and business people. Bergdorf first rose to prominence when she was fired from a L'Oreal advertising campaign in September last year after saying that the white race is the most violent and oppressive force of nature on earth in a foul-mouthed rant online. In comments directed at all white people, she argued that white people inherited bigoted attitudes and are intrinsically dangerous by virtue of their biology. She said, "Your entire existence is drenched in racism, from microaggressions to terrorism. You guys built the blueprint for this shit. Come see me when you realize that racism isn't learned, it's inherited and consciously or unconsciously passed down through white privilege. Once white people begin to admit that their race is the most violent and oppressive force of nature on earth, then we can talk. Until then, stay acting shocked about how the world continues to say effed at the hands of your ancestors and your heads that remain buried in the sand with hands over your ears." After making the explicitly racist comments, Bergdorf was promptly invited onto the BBC to spread her views on multiple occasions, was verified on Twitter, and will now be advising Her Majesty's opposition on policy. The Labour Party has already sparked a number of racism rows this year by banning white men from an equalities conference and attempting to charge white people extra to see Jeremy Corbyn talk. That was before the equalities watchdog blocked the move. Now, this Negro attacks white people and says that we're so oppressive, we're so violent. And yet, if it wasn't for our technology, he wouldn't have been able to mutilate himself and pretend to be a female, because that wound would have festered and gone septic, and he would have died by now instead of pretending that he's a woman with it. And this is quite... This really takes the biscuit that Labour have actually taken this creature on as their equalities advisor. And they've also got a transsexual advising them on women's rights. And they really are going overboard on the anti-white narrative. And they're really nailing their colours to the mast, saying we are an anti-white party. We wish to replace whites with Negroes. We wish to promote transsexuals and queers. And surprisingly enough, they are getting a lot of support, Billy. They've got about half as much support in the country as the Tories have. It is fairly worrying that they may actually get into power. I guess the best thing that can be said about this is that it does highlight it to people just how anti-white they are, and hopefully people will just keep them out. What are your thoughts about this?
Yes, absolutely, and hopefully provoke a reaction. I've been reading up on Mr. or Ms. or It's Bergdorf as well. I was initially interested in the last name and its origin, but I, apparently after seeing a picture, it's not Jewish, but it is mulatto or something mixed race African. But yeah, the quotes, you know, by this vegan, transsexual, anti-white Marxist thing are actually pretty radical. And the part that you read that really stuck out to me was saying that, unlike what many liberals say, when they say that racism is taught and that it can be untaught, she or he or it actually says that racism is not learned, that it is inherited, passed on, even subconsciously, even unconsciously, from white parents to white children, and that therefore all white people are inherently racist because we are genetically inheriting racism. And so therefore, the logical exposition of that would be taking it to its extreme. They mean that they have to destroy, they have to eliminate all white people to eliminate racism, and that you cannot just have liberal whites who are non-racist or even anti-racist. You cannot have any white people according to he or she or its definition of racism. And obviously, there's no white person in Britain today that I'm aware of that's saying the same kind of thing about blacks or Asians as he or she or it is saying about whites. So the very virulent racism is actually being expressed by that thing rather than by any white person I'm aware of in Great Britain. But obviously, I do hope that it will be radical enough and extreme enough to awaken people. It's almost like a caricature. If I were going to make a parody of an insane liberal anti-white, I would be hard-pressed to come up with something more radical and extreme than this thing, really.
Well, this is it. When you say that... you know, is accusing us of being racist. That is their logic, is that only white people can be racist, and the only way to get rid of the racist gene is to wipe all white people out. But we know that the truth is that everybody is born racist. Everybody is born with a preference for their own people. They can go to babies and they can, you know, they can offer a baby a picture of a woman of one race and a woman of its own race, and they will show a preference for the woman of their own race. They will show a preference for the sounds of their own people's voices when compared to others. And that's going to be the same for every race. You are going to naturally want to be with your own people. And the younger you are, I would say, the more that is going to show. And the brainwashing is to be anti-racist. What comes naturally is to love your own people and want to be with your own people. And this is what we see throughout the natural world. And yet somehow we've been told that this is a bad thing when it's white people that do this. And this is whilst the people that are telling us this are doing it themselves. You know, that's the most incredible thing. They say that white people are racist, and yet we've got the Black Police Officers Association. We've got the World Jewish Congress, the European Union of Jews. We've got the British Board of Jewish Deputies. We've got homosexuals that are banding together. We've got lesbians banding together. We've got Muslims banding together. But if white people want to band together, oh no, that's racist. That's some kind of genetic abnormality that we have. And we know who all of this comes from, who promotes this, because these Negroes haven't got the brains to think this up for themselves. They are just being used as a weapon in the hands of the Jews, which are the main ones that have forced this narrative right from the beginning. Billy, I don't know if you'd like to add anything else before we finish.
Well, thank you for having me on once again. I look forward to next week. There's always something new to talk about, and I always enjoy discussing it with you.
Next week we'll be talking about some demonstrations, I believe. Thank you for coming on, Billy. Listeners can check out the Rope Report later on today. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.